Good morning. Welcome to this first Sunday after Christmas. I hope everyone had a great celebration on Thursday. Are there any parish notices to come forth at this time? Okay, hearing none at this time, let us prepare our hearts for morning worship. Let us bow our heads for our opening prayer. Light of the world, shine in our lives this day. As we hear your word and as we worship, help us grow in the strength and wisdom of your love. Bless us with faith reborn, that we may find your miraculous presence in our worship and in our world. In your holy name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord from the highest heaven.
Let the sun and moon and the stars in the sky all sing praises to our God.
Praise the Lord from the deepest valley.
Let the mountains and the hills, the fruit trees and the tall cedars all worship the Lord on high.
Praise the Lord from the heart of the faithful. The Lord our God, ruler of heaven and earth. Let us join together in our opening hymn, The First Noel, number 245.
Thank you.
Let us take this opportunity to join in the passing of the peace. And today we have Marie doing the children's message. So if we could have the children come forward at this time, and Marie as well. She's a child. And we'll have that message for the children. Thank you.
Children. I said I tried to get all the children I could get today. We didn't have too many, so I got what I could. What holiday did we just celebrate? Right. And did you guys get a lot of nice gifts? Huh? What's some of the gifts you got?
I got a bracelet maker.
What'd you get? Oh, I got a coat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What did you get for Christmas?
I got a bow and arrow.
Oh, wow. Good. All right. Do you think he gets gifts, too? Do you think he gets gifts? What kind of gift do you think he gets? Do you think he gets dolls? Things like that? No? What kind of gifts do you think he gets? Does anybody know? No? Yes. God gives. The gifts he gets are from us. And it's being kind to each other and loving each other. And this is what God's gifts. So it isn't just Christmas that God gets gifts. It's every day that he gets gifts. All right? Like at home. Kindness and love is what he is our gifts to him. Okay, at home, how can we give him gifts from home, like being kind and stuff? How can we do that to each other?
Do stuff for our parents.
Right.
Be nice to siblings. Be nice to your pets.
Right. See, all this pleases God when you do this. And the same thing at school. Being friendly at school to somebody or listening to somebody at school in the respect when somebody maybe has a bad day and they need somebody to listen. God likes that, you know. And so that pleases him. That is his, you know, that's when he kind of beams. So, you know, every day we need to do that. And church, we need to thank our teachers that in Sunday school or even the preacher, you know, thank them for spreading the word of God and to do things for us like that and everything. So, you know, this is God's gift, you know. And he gave us a gift too, didn't he? And his gift he gave to us was Jesus. So, can we all say together John 3:16? Or I know we all know it because we do it at school. Okay, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear God, please help us to give giving hearts, and please help us to be kind to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Oh,
Aubrey's going to carry the mic for us this morning as well. Thank you, children. You may return to your seats. Portion of our service where we share our joys and concerns as a church family. And again, thank you to Marie for sharing the children's message. That is a joy. And we also want to thank Dave Thomas for returning to us to share a message. Dave was with us back in September, and again, we welcome him back to our congregation to deliver the sermon today. Aubrey's going to carry the mic. If you have a joy or concern, raise your hand, and we'll bring the mic around to you.
Yes, Sis said that she really had an enjoyable night here Christmas Eve. It's good to see everybody again, and that she wanted to go back out to the nursing home. So we're hoping that she can get out of there in the next couple weeks maybe, or she might have to spend, you know, January out there yet. They don't know for sure. But she's doing well, and it was good for me because I got to spread the word, you know, about the Lord to some other people, and it really worked out good. He's really working and giving me a good blessing.
I just want to give you an update on Eric. He still is in an induced coma. They keep trying to bring him out, but he's not coming around. They did put a trach in so they could get him off the ventilator, but he's still not any changes other than that.
Today is Sydney's 16th birthday.
Today is my wife's birthday, but it's not her 16th.
I'd like to ask for prayer for my aunt, Joanne Johnson. She had surgery on Friday, and she is having complications from her surgery. So any prayers would be appreciated. Thank you.
I just wanted to thank the church for all they did for the contributions to help the people. We did raise over $1,000. I know the bulletin says 568 or something like that, but our Sunday school class kicked in, and we raised over $1,000. And I'm sure it was very well received. Thank you very much.
I'm going to say something this week. I kind of caught the dickens last week because I didn't speak up during joys and concerns. I want to thank the church and everybody for all your prayers. There's no question in my mind that your prayers haven't been answered. The good Lord's had a hand in my helping of the healing of my eye. When I went in for surgery, the doctor came back out after 2.5 hours and just shook his head, didn't think that I'd ever have eyesight in that eye again. The retina was 80% detached and 5 tears in the bottom. And The next day when I went back and he was looking at the eye, he just kept shaking his head and saying, incredible, amazing, unbelievable. And he just said it just it was miraculous how my retina was reattached, and it was looking real good. And I'm going back tomorrow, so keep your prayers coming, and hopefully I'll regain my eyesight. Thank you so much.
And thank you to Aubrey. We threw a curveball at her to have her carry the mic and also to light the Advent wreath as well today. Aubrey, you've done a great job. Thank you. This is the time of our service where we take our concerns, both our joys and concerns, to the Lord in silent prayer. Loving God, thank you for hearing our silent prayers. And dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us as a congregation to share with each other our joys and our concerns that we bring to you. Now increase our faith as we lift up the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us join together in the hymn, There's a Song in the Air, number 249. May be seated, and at this time we'll have our anthem, followed by Dave.
Good morning. Ooh, thank you. Sorry about that. Didn't have to yell. The scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah, first chapter, verses 4 to 10. And then we're going to skip a few and go 17 to 19. The Lord is talking to Jeremiah at this point, and he says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Alas, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I am too young.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to say. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you,' declared the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I anoint you and appoint you over the nations and the kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Get yourself ready. Stand up. Say to them, whatever I command you to say. Do not be terrified of them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." When I was asked to speak, I thought, well, okay, it's Christmas. It's just after Christmas. And what am I going to talk on? I thought, well, probably not Christmas. And then I was talking to one of my fellow speakers, and she says, "I'd never do that Sunday. It ain't close enough to Easter, and it's just right after Christmas, and they've heard all that." So I picked Jeremiah. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have trouble with what God wants you to do. This is a crazy, mixed up world, and you know, some things that you think you want to do might not be what God is calling you to do. I would be happier to go back to the days of the burning bush. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Yeah, okay. I know exactly what to do. Noah, build me an ark. Fruit wood. Cubits by cubits by cubits. Man, you know exactly what you got to do in life. And that's what Jeremiah had an advantage over us, too. The Lord was talking to him. That would be great reassurance. Hey, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to be with you. Here we go. Let's go. And that's kind of what God wants us all to do, to help accomplish his plan. I know that sometimes we're hesitant to do things because we feel inadequate. We don't have really clear directions. We don't have that voice saying, "Yeah, we're going down to the street corner here and talk to the first person we see." Or, "Hey, I don't talk so well. You know, maybe I ought to leave that for somebody else." And sometimes I think that too. When I stand up here, I think, man, so-and-so would be better to stand here because they deliver a better message. They talk better. They've got more time to prepare. They look better. You know, you can go on and on. But thinking about these people, you know, I look at them as they'd be perfect for this job. But then I think, gee, maybe they wouldn't be, because God called me to do this. Does that sound familiar with some of the stuff you wrestle with? I do it all the time. And sometimes when we feel God calls us to do jobs, you kind of go, wait a minute. I'm not suited for that. I'm not perfect for that. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't be in the choir. I really can't. But a lot of you could. And I've got a secret that I've learned over the years, and I'm going to share it with you. God has always worked through imperfect people. None of us are perfect. The Bible is littered with all kinds of people that were not perfect, but God used them. Moses led a pretty charmed life there for a while. Got fished out of a river, went to live in the palace. Everything, he became a strong leader, and then he killed the slave master and had to flee the country, crossed to somewhere else and tend sheep. And then God called him. Didn't do it while he had all the easy stuff. God called him after he was tending sheep. David was with Goliath. Oh my goodness, the big guy. I mean, he didn't even have the stones he needed to throw it. He picked them up on the way to Goliath. God was with him. He picked up 5 stones, but he only needed 1 because God was there. Paul, another great person in the Bible, persecuted Christians forever. And then all of a sudden, one day, he turns to be a Christian. And people didn't believe it for a while. They may not believe that some of you are here and doing what you need to do. But if you keep at it, they'll soon learn that you have changed and that you are who you are. It's not written in the Bible, but Mary and Joseph weren't chosen to deliver Jesus because they were perfect people. The angel of the Lord didn't come and say, Mary, you're going to have the baby Jesus because you're perfect. He said, no, you've been chosen to have. And we don't have to be perfect in life. We just have to try. And I'm sure that being human, this probably wasn't written anywhere in the Bible, but I'm sure Joseph, from out in his workshop, came in the house once in a while with wood chips and stuff all over him, and he's brushing them off, and Mary says, no, no, get out, get out. I just cleaned this house. But that's after usually about 5 years of marriage. That stuff starts happening. And I'm sure they were human. I mean, we all are. We have little failings here and there. Every day we have sins of omission, sins of commission, or omission, and we commit some. I was speeding on the way here. I'm not sure if that was a sin or not, but I looked at my watch and I was behind. I'm not sure how God sees that, but he does that. Jesus, when he was on earth, he called some imperfect people also. The lady at the well, the Samaritan lady. Oh, Jews never talked to them. But he asked for a drink of water and told her to go spread the good news. Zacchaeus, a tax collector. Worse than a Samaritan. Hated. Jesus said, hey, come down out of that tree. We're going to supper at your house. Jesus and God used imperfect people. Even the disciples Jesus chose were not perfect. Yeah, they dropped everything and went and followed him. But after that Last Supper, things begin to fall apart a little bit. They went into hiding. Some of them said, I don't know him. So nobody is perfect, even chosen. And down through the years, there have been many people that have been used for God's plan. There's some guy named John Wesley. Man, he didn't start out to split the church. All he was doing was nailing a few things on a door to say, hey, you know, we need to change some things. But we're sitting here, we're not Lutheran, we're not Baptist. We are Methodists. because somebody spoke up and changed something. Billy Graham almost flunked out of college, and then he was almost expelled for thinking that the rules were too rigid and the courses were too legalistic. A year later, God called him into service. So usually we find a bottom before God will call us. And God's used to working with imperfect people, and he's used to us folks being reluctant. In the first chapter, or the fourth chapter, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." Jeremiah didn't say, "Oh, gee, Lord, it's nice talking to you. How you doing today?" He said, "Oh, nope, uh-uh, nope, no, 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 no." I mean, he didn't even want to carry on a conversation. He just, like most of us, saying, "That Dave's better than this Dave, so why don't you put him up here?" It's very simple to say no. And God's used to that. And Jeremiah is no different than the rest of us. He started out with excuses and not anything like, "Hi, how you doing?" We all have human fears, scared to do things. I can't imagine. I've never jumped out of an airplane. I've always wanted to, but I've been scared to death. I don't know what will happen those first few minutes. Seconds, I guess it is. It just seems like minutes. In verse 7, God continues on. "The Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you,' declares the Lord." God was basically saying, "Hey, I got your back. We're going to do this together. I will be with you." And you notice he did not promise him a rose garden. This ain't going to be easy. It's not no cushy life once you start out to do this, because you're going to be messing with some powerful people. He said, "You are going to get in trouble. They're not going to like you. They're going to threaten you." He said, "For I am with you and will rescue you." He's saying, "Yeah, it's going to be rough, but I will be there with you." What does God call us to do? God does not call everybody the same. This would be a terrible world if everybody was called to be a minister. All you guys would be up here, I'd be down there. That would be good. But then there would be no firemen. There'd be no policemen. No Sunday school teachers. No farmers. There would be nobody making that less than $2 gas that we're really enjoying. Everybody has their niche, their talent, something that they have to do. And just because they're doing that doesn't mean they're not doing what God wants them to do. God calls us to use our talents. And everybody has a different set. He also offers us a chance to make the most of our talents. In verse 9 and 10, he says, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear them down, to destroy and overflow and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Jeremiah said, "Hey, I don't know how to talk." Obviously, he was talking back to God, so he obviously had some words. But God put his words in his mouth. And that's what God does for us. He takes what we know and enhances it and makes it better. And I'm not sure about you, but When Jeremiah was called, he said, "You're going to overthrow nations." I'm glad God's never called me to do that. I would have a list of objections about this long. He's going to have to go through more than I could not speak. Most of us do what God is calling us to do and don't even know it. The Pharisees were always trying to trap Jesus. And one time they asked him, "Which commandment's the best? Which is number one?" And he said, "Have no other gods before me. And treat your neighbor as yourself." The treating your neighbor as yourself, that would be like, you need to know what's going on. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about somebody being homeless, a stranger, and being invited in. "You saw me naked and clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink." And they say, "Oh, no, Lord, I've never seen you do that." No. But he said, "If you do this unto the least of my brothers, you have done it to me." Something you do, you probably send a card to somebody. Somebody here would be teaching Sunday school. You can call up somebody and just say hi. You can pray with somebody or pray for somebody. You can mentor somebody at work. You can see somebody's having a bad day and say, "Hey, what's going on?" You could bake cookies for the Kairos ministry. You could give up a meal a week and give that $5 to the Salvation Army or UMCOR or somebody else. You could help teach vacation Bible school. The list goes on and on of the little things that we do that are pleasing to God. And you're using your talents for that. Each year our company adopts a Christmas family. We do the tree, an angel tree. I don't know if you guys do too. But we do that. A child size 7, size 5 shoes, whatever. And we usually do pretty well. But this year, the company decided to hand out gift certificates or gift cards to everyone at supper time. They had 7 of them, and we had a drawing. Sorry, it's gambling. We had a drawing, and for each of the lunch periods, there was 7 $25 gift certificates. And when the gift cards were given out, I wasn't there for our first lunch on second shift, but the second one, there was a drawing. Guy got it, took it back, drew the next one. The fourth one, the guy just laid it down on the counter, drew the number, walked away. Next guy walks up. Yep. Next girl walks up. Okay. And it wasn't until after the drawing was over that they found out that everybody, those 4 people, had donated their gift cards to that family. Those weren't perfect people that did that. And you don't have to be perfect to carry out God's work. I found out that during the day, they had raised $250 from people that just said, "Huh, it's Christmas." Do it, if you do it under the least of them, you have done it to me. How does God equip you to serve? God's given you talents. You've got them. Everybody here can speak. Say hi. I heard you come in. I know you can talk. Say hi to somebody you don't know. Surprise the heck out of them in Walmart. "Hey, how you doing?" Sometimes they'll say hi back. Sometimes you'll get the eyes to the floor, but you'll still get your message across. You said hi. God helps you find a way to get things done. I passed the Bible school down here at church, or at school. And that in itself is a miracle. You know, some people said, hey, we got to have separation of church and state. Some good people said, okay, we can do that. And found a way. They built a building, not on public ground. Oh, gee, we're going to need teachers. We're going to need escorts. That happened. Oh, gee, it's going to cost more. Still going. Our church took up a collection 2 weeks ago for the three Bible schools, Lincoln View, Crestview, and Van Wert. You know, good people will find a way to get God's message across. And people use their talents. There was organizing, all that other good stuff. I mentioned earlier about all the imperfect people in the Bible. There is one perfect one in there, and that was Jesus. Jesus didn't have a perfect life either. I was mentioning all the trials and tribulations that the other ones went through. Jesus, they threatened to stone him. He was run out of town a few times. They didn't even want him in his hometown. But he persevered. He had the help of God. He was getting out and getting the message. And he was making things happen. And he was perfect. I forgot to mention that all of you are perfect also. Jesus died for our sins. And through his birth, death, and resurrection, we're saved also. We are white as snow. We have to do two things to earn that, though. Number one, we have to believe. And number two, we need to ask his forgiveness, bowing our heads. And I know we're going to mess up. We're not going to stay perfect for very long. That's because we're human. But God is always there, and Jesus has paid the price. And that's God's message for God's people this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. An excellent message for the first Sunday after Christmas. At this time, if the ushers would come forward, we'll receive the morning offering. Let us pray together. Generous God, receive these gifts as offerings of our deepest selves. Transform them into gifts for the world, even as you transform us into children of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us join together in the closing hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, 251. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, now and forever. Amen.